almost censored. Fucked up and didn't turn on the microphones. Ah, this is a clean one. I gotta bleep that.
Oh, it's a clean one? Now you tell me? You don't tell me anything. I don't even know what the show's about.
Yeah, it's gotta be clean. I'm sorry. It's gotta be clean. And it's not my fault you don't know what the show's about, because you were looking at pictures of your nephew and crap like that dressed as Santa, which were admittedly adorable and precious.
Absolutely.
But they're not show prep. You asked me literally 30 seconds before we go on air, after I bugged you, I might add. I was like, oh, you might want to, mightn't you want to know what we're doing on the show? Mightn't remember the verses, to quote old Haas on Bonanza, a reference that maybe two Don and Mike listeners in the audience will understand. Maybe.
Not high.
About as esoteric as that one gets. You're listening to Papa's Basement. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Esquire Lucas Flood. I don't know what your name is today. Something like that. In Papa's Basement is the show's website. Go there for new episodes every Monday and every Thursday. Been a little shaky on the updates lately, but I think we're getting them out. They're just kind of... I've been doing some home shows to fill in the gaps. I was initially going to have the Thursday episode recorded tomorrow, but we got another one of those storms where you're supposed to buy toilet paper and milk and resort to eating your pets. Like a damn Vietnamese POW. So,
hey now.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. So we're probably not recording, and the studio's booked Wednesday and Thursday. So you're probably looking at another solo show, which I didn't go horribly, but God, am I thankful you are in the studio after doing like an hour of recording.
I enjoyed your solo show. I actually did listen to it.
Did you hear the first 20? Because there's a new one.
I didn't hear the last part.
Oh, no. They got mashed together. The new one was literally started at 2:30 p.m. with the kickoff in the Pats Broncos game at 3. So I was just like, this is going to get rushed. We are doing this one fast. At about 2:58, I was like, episode's over? Yeah, episode's over. And then I watched the Broncos cruise to a victory. How sweet it was.
God forbid you have to actually put these shows together before you get on air. One of these days, you might end up be ready with a stand-up routine. Who knows?
Yeah, it really does lend itself towards some sort of stand-up readiness, I think. Except, I'll be honest, if you eat balls, after like 5 minutes, you can just pause and go and take a piss and get a drink of water and pet the cat. And then you just unpause it. And you're like, nothing happened. I'm right back. All you have to remember is what you were talking about before you left.
Whatever you're talking about, John, everything that you utter is just pure comic gold.
Well, I believe that in my heart of hearts, and I am touched that you said it to me, the audience might not be as perceptive as you, and thus I worry. So in papasbasement.com. Episodes Monday and Thursday, and links to all the other stuff I do. Papa's Football Podcast, The Spookies Comic. I do movie reviews every Friday of crap I haven't seen. There's a lot on there, and the archives are rife with times when, you know, I actually cared, and I wrote a bunch. So if you fish through, there's a lot of good crap in there to busy yourself with. I don't know why you'd want to go to my site, though, when True Detective exists and is a show. And last night, I saw the face of God contained within it.
I don't even know what the show is.
You don't know what True Detective is?
I'm mostly just a ESPN and live sports type of television watcher. So
I do a lot of that. Don't get me wrong, but where I do dabble into the pre-recorded stuff, the dramas and comedies, it's typically HBO, Showtime, things like that.
Okay.
And by things like that, I think I just mean HBO and Showtime. There isn't much on the network that gets me, man. I think right now I'm looking at New Girl. That's it.
Right.
Because I am a wuss at heart.
I
really wish this was a dirty one. It's hard doing the dirty NFL show, the Papa's Football Podcast, and then coming back to this one, man.
I definitely watched The Following last night. First time I'd ever watched that show.
Is that the one with like Kevin Bacon as an investigator, and he thwarted a serial killer last year who had like a cult around him?
Yeah, I find the whole cult hard to believe because the cult appears to be built around this guy's fervor for Poe literature. And so they're willing to kill on behalf of this man because of his worldview based on romantic literature. I find that a little hard to believe.
I find anything that tosses serial killing out there without a true understanding of serial killers very, I don't want to say offensive, but just dumb. And for dumb people, like Dexter got me the same way. Serial killers, this might shock you, but someone who perpetually kills, they're deeply damaged folks. And they usually really can't get their lives together. And it's not like people serial kill for different reasons. They get screwed up in the head, and it's pretty much how they get a rod. That's it. There's never been a serial killer who didn't intimately tie it into his sexuality, and that's why they always have to kill. It's pretty much asking a guy not to run one out. He's going to eventually.
I'll say this, though. The following did offer some suspense. I did find it to be entertaining, but I just had to ignore the lack of realistic plot.
Okay, yeah. If you're looking at it as pure fun, then I guess it's going to deliver. But I do get weirded out when someone's like, oh, this is a serial killer. Just be like, this is something we haven't seen before. He's a cult leader.
Right.
That kind of stuff. But to be like, oh, he's a serial killer. Serial killing, it's like a guilty Catholic asked not to touch his junk. Every 2 months, he's going to slip up, and then he's like, I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm sorry. That's serial killing.
Yeah, it's
except
not as...
Except murder instead of your junk.
It's not as entertaining as we make it out to be on television, for sure.
Serial killing?
Yeah.
I would say that.
Even the coverage.
There's not a ton of glamour to serial killing. You take someone innocent and end their life because your wiring is screwed up.
But we've turned it into a form of entertainment to be horrified in this way where it's not real. However, when you finally do real live coverage of these actual news stories, when they do arise, it's just complete tragedy. You know, there's nothing about it that makes you want to read more unless you just can't turn your head when you see a horrific accident on the interstate. Which,
you're one of those weird chicks who gets off on them.
Oh, man. Like, you are the one who's been trolling the internet for strange for decades.
Out there.
Yeah.
Oh, they're out there.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but.
you can quote the name of the Son of Sam dog, or I guess it was Sam. So that was that. If you can get the weird details, like the address of John Wayne Gacy's crawl space area, or who exactly Ed Gein made his dead skin masks out of. Wow. The chicks will plump up down there. And then you're like, this is a bad thing I'm doing with a bad person.
Yeah. Yeah, you got me feeling a little dirty being on your show now, man.
They're out there. There are weird chicks out there that rod up for serial killers. Don't ask me why. Because that one doesn't compute to me at all. And I'm not saying that in a clever way. I don't get chicks that get off on serial killers.
And that's perhaps one of the reasons why we're still friends.
I like that I was typing the outline up because I have to come up with my highlights for More Like Radio. They're like, not only do you put your show up, list the highlights out, and oh god, I forgot, I have to cut like a 5 minute best of.
All right,
so
to reach the best of this episode.
No, it's gonna be in the first 5 minutes. It's gonna be the serial killer segment. Right now, in fact. I'm gonna hit the F8 and mark it off because we mentioned More Like Radio, and the serial killer bit's pretty good.
All right.
I know Kathy Griffith, that creepy ginger comedian. She really loves her a serial killer book.
But it's a book. See, it's not.
Yeah, but she'll read tons of not like,
like
fictional
the non-fiction
stuff. Yeah, like
oh,
accounts of serial killers. Like she likes. We had one. I forgot the dude's name. There was one in this area, like before it developed in the 70s in Northern Virginia.
Oh.
He wasn't too prolific, but he killed like 4 or 5 people.
That's a lot.
If you troll Fairfax Underground, there's a bunch of people who posted to it.
Okay.
Talking about like they knew him in the 70s.
This is different than the Bunnyman Bridge killer.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold on. Let me look up Fairfax, Virginia serial killer.
I think Bunnyman Bridge is... See, I mean, to me, it's more about the allure of this horror story, which lends itself more to looking at like occult or just the crazy sci-fi type stories that can come out. Like Northern Virginia is best known for Bunnyman Bridge. There was apparently a psycho who escaped from an insane asylum out in Western Fairfax in the 1930s. And while this person just ran around in the forest, they used to hang this like bunnies they had killed underneath this one bridge. And so teenagers to this day go there to freak each other out because it is this creepy underpass. And you can see kind of like why it would make sense to scare people who drove under this bridge by hanging a dead rabbit underneath of it. So,
yeah. Monty Rizzle. That was his name, man. You can
so that's
Google.
The serial killer?
Yeah. Sorry, I was listening to the Bunny Man Bridge stuff. Monty Rizzle. Oh, Monty Rizzle's a creepy looking bastard. If I showed you this picture, here, you can turn around.
No, I don't want to look at this. See, you this know, is real. This is not like Bunny Man Bridge. This is like a real serial killer now. Now I don't want to look.
If you type in MONTERISSELL, Monty Rizzle, the very first hit is for Murderpedia. So yeah, there's people on the internet that get off on their
Murderpedia is a thing.
Murderpedia is a thing.
We're promoting Murderpedia now. This is awesome. I'm so glad I came today.
Oops, murder. Google Chrome could not find murderpedia.org.
Great.
I wonder if I came up against a blocker in the station. I would not be shocked. But yeah, man, we're out of Fairfax County public access, so know your history, kids. Monty Rizzle. Creepy dude. I think he killed like a prostitute and some other folks. Some weird stuff, man. But Google his name. And you'll find a lot of people recollecting on Fairfax Underground, like, yeah, I knew Monty in the 70s, or he was like the weird kid in school. Yeah, it makes your skin crawl. Ugh. It's not like he was this abstract being that just like came into existence and was killing 6 hours later. Like all these people remembered him or like, yeah, I shoved him down once. I wonder if I was the cause for him killing.
Oh, that's awful.
That would weigh on you just a bit, you think? Sorry, I'm picking at my nose. Did my scab finally fall off? Yes. I had a grotesque, like, lip zit. For a time, I had one, like, above the nostril on the right side and then one right below the left nostril. And it formed this grotesque diagonal right through
my nose. Can we go back to, like, part of the show prep as opposed to discussing the disgusting features of your face? The things that make us belong on radio?
Sure, we can. The serial killer thing, we were kind of riffing, but I scraped my nose and I felt
and
the
it was
scab
foul.
Fall off.
Yeah, this is just.
Did you see it? Did I lose it?
No, I don't want to see it.
It was like a little ball and a pick.
I want to move
big
on.
Pen sized thing.
I want to move on as if this
well, it's big for
conversation
me, and it's gone
happened.
Now, and I'm happy because it was annoying. Ugh, I wasn't even getting kisses. I wasn't even getting kisses with my gross zits. Because anytime you say I have a zit on my lip, people are like, sure, herpes.
Your Greek face just sweats olive oil, man. You got
to
like really wash that down.
In no jest, I have to shower nightly. And it can't even be I shower in the morning, because if I go to bed without a shower, I will grease up so badly during the night that I wake up with horrible shoulder and back zits. And I'm
Ooh.
A 32-year-old man, not a pubescent
Ooh.
Male.
Yeah, I've noticed you also have a lot of hair follicles. That's the other thing about being Greek that I've noticed. Like,
oh, yeah.
I remember the first time I laughed when the first time I saw you have to shave the back of your neck.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's basically like a daily thing for you, isn't it?
Once a week. Every third shave.
All right.
Because I shave every other day. So every third shave gets a neck shave in the mix, too.
Yeah, like you just don't even flinch where you're just like working that because, you know, basically a part of your beard.
Yeah, it really is. I have to lather my neck up, and then I get a hand mirror out. I guess it's like shaving your taint or something like that if you're in porn. I just kind of gently do my neck. It's really simple.
I call it the Greek wax.
Yeah, it's gross, and it's a pain in the ass having to handle it, but it happens. I it's just part of my routine. I kind of sleep on the fact that like no one else has to. Like it's just something that gets handled every time they get a haircut. Like I'll let my neck bush up every time I go to the barber shop. I get pissed when I forget I'm gonna get a haircut and I hand shave it because I love when they pull out that fake old-timey Reservoir Dog straight razor and give you the lather up and clean the neck a little bit. That's the best.
Yeah, that's great.
I almost wish I didn't have a beard just so I could pay an extra $5 and have them do my whole face that way. Seems soothing. Seems soothing to be fussed over. Getting back to the whole serial killer thing, I'm watching True Detective on HBO. So we've incorporated serial killer drama, serial killers, we're all back. Show prep is going strong. Yeah. Have faith.
True Detective is a fictional series or it's a...
Fictional.
Okay.
It's the whole thing is, I think there's 8 episodes this season. I guess there's going to have 8, 12 the next season. This season, the premiere season, it started last week. They've booked Matt McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. They're both killing it.
Okay, great.
They're both, the acting is amazing. The writing is amazing. Cinematography is amazing. I don't know when HBO, it's on par with like a Game of Thrones to me.
Okay.
Except the weird thing is they're going to have to, they cut and run with these guys at the end of the season. And it's just the next season of True Detective will be two new actors.
Okay.
Or whatever. They obviously could not tie down Woody Harrelson and Matt McConaughey for the longest amount of time.
This sounds a little more intriguing to me because it does sound like more of an extended Tales from the Crypt approach to series creation. I guess American Horror Story is kind of doing that with slight...
Kind of, except when they blow up the cast and then it comes back together, it's usually the majority of the cast has repeated.
Okay.
And maybe someone pieced out, but they get at least like a cameo the next season.
Right. I want to just wait for which one? For True Detective, they're still going to bring people back, or it's just going to
No, that's how American Horror Story works. Yeah. Like, I think Jessica Lange's been there all
she's,
3 years.
She's been there the whole time.
There's like
the
a Downsy broad who's been there all 3 years. A chick who's like kind of offbeat, a little cute, not really. The blonde girl, she's been there first and third year, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I do like the idea of having a new storyline for every season because I just think too many shows go on for too long. And so,
well, in America, yeah.
Yeah.
Like in Japan, especially the anime, it's just they get their rocks off on killing everyone by the end.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to do 4 seasons and then everyone dies. Hell, the Transformers, they killed Optimus Prime. They killed Optimus. Get that through your head. That would be like over here, episode 25, Krang and Shredder catch the turtles and kill them. They kill Leonardo at the very least.
Right, yeah.
That would not compute in an American mind.
But I think we go a little too far with prolonging series beyond their full...
I could not agree with you more, but that's what... Like, art is almost a byproduct of selling crap in this country. Like, people who love their Transformers cartoons and they love their Ninja Turtles, they loved also buying the action figures and buying the video games. Even they didn't want it to end. They would have been upset if the characters got killed. There was like a revolt in the streets when they killed Optimus. And they did that to introduce a whole new line.
Right.
People were weeping, gnashing their teeth, rending the garments from their chest.
I remember how that
they
felt.
They brought his ass back.
Yeah, that was unfortunate because I really did enjoy the movie. I really did enjoy that animated flick that...
I don't remember it that well, in all honesty. We were like 5 when it came out. It was like 86, man.
Because I rewatched it again in the 90s, early 90s, like around 8th, 9th grade, I rewatched it. So it was pretty pretty stunning for me to watch the amount of death and destruction that they inflicted upon the cast.
So many of them.
Starscream was done within the first half hour. It was great. It was great the way that they killed off Starscream in that. It was just, it captured my imagination for how to write a script because I was so accustomed to nobody ever dying on the Transformers. When I actually had all these characters that I cared deeply for, and even the ones where you kind of like, Starscream was just such a sideshow comedy piece of the Decepticons. And to watch him just get crushed, like absolutely vaporized, when Megatron comes back resurrected as Galvatron.
Well, that's what happens when you get the Japanese in control of stuff. Like, contrast that with G.I. Joe. Transformers, it's robots wrestling. Really, no one has to die. You can just be like, they grappled. It was a draw. It was the 47th draw in a row between Megatron and Optimus Prime. And at the end of the day, really, can you argue otherwise? Yeah. Contrast that with G.I. Joe, where at least once per episode, it was Cobra and G.I. Joe squaring off with what? Guns. Pew, pew, pew. Blue lasers versus red lasers, as I recall, because it wasn't really bullets.
But without fail, you blow up a Cobra chopper or whatever.
Things blow up. No one dies.
Yep. There's always 2 parachutes. And the Cobra guy is getting to float down safely into the water to be picked up later by the rescue team from Cobra.
I mean, Sons of Anarchy was just as bad. That's really why I quit that show. There were so many gunfights where it was almost just 5 guys lined up versus 5 guys lined up. Bang, 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 bang. And then at the end, maybe one of the Mayans is like carried off like he was shot in the leg.
Yeah. I guess the one thing that we're now starting to see with the zombie show, Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Is that they're getting people to care about characters and killing them off. And so Americans really are suddenly...
Well, I would say Game of Thrones is the big one for that.
But that's an existing book series that was already written.
So Walking
that was
Dead.
Is that but they're not following the script as closely with Walking Dead. They are throwing loops so that even if you read the comic book series, you're not sure who's dying when. They really are kind of being a little more liberal with that interpretation.
Well, not just that. I think they invented characters that weren't exactly in the comics. So, yeah, they can die at any point. You don't really know.
Exactly, yeah. So, with Walking Dead, there's a little bit more mystery as opposed to, like, Game of Thrones, I'm sorry. You can read the books and know exactly what is up to speed throughout the entire scripts that are going to be written for the show. Walking Dead, there's still an element of surprise that is there for everyone, even who those who are fans of the comic book. I just think, like, whenever I see these social media updates on the latest plot twist in Walking Dead, I gave up on Walking Dead probably halfway through second season. It to me is a good sign that Americans are willing to have their characters die, but that still seems like an interminable series to me. It seems like X-Files, where you're never going to find out the truth. You know, it's just, it's going to go on forever.
I think the comic's still going on. Here, spoiler alert, if you're into the comic, shut this down. Or into the show, rather, and you haven't read the comic. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Better be off by now. Pretty sure Rick's dead in the comic at this point. I think he gets dusted. I know he loses his hand at the very least, so he's got like a creepy dude who runs the evil island and Enter the Dragon thing going.
Anybody who's a fan of this should know by now that no character's sacred. I mean, even Rick.
A lead? I don't know, man. When there's a straight lead, like in Walking Dead, that one's hard. Because Game of Thrones, you could never say there's a lead. If you could, hell, I guess you would say it was Ned Stark. But Game of Thrones was very ensemble cast. Walking Dead is Rick at the end of the day. From what I remember, hell, they could have moved on.
But, you could have said that about X-Files, and then they got rid of Mulder there for a hot minute. So you had seasons of that show, which were...
With the T-1000.
Yeah, it's just...
Wasn't there some hot Latin ass that replaced Scully?
She was not actually Latin, but she did have olive skin, so...
Okay. So she was good. So she was an improvement. As much as I enjoy Ginger, actually. I remember the early 90s fuss for Scully. That was one of those coveted, let's get some, you know, 400 pixels by 200 pixels nudes of this woman.
Yeah.
Printed out on my dot matrix printer so that I can take it in the bathroom with me. That was iPad porn in 93, printing out a folder on your dot matrix of a horrible resolution, faked nudes off of a... off of a 3.25 inch, or what the hell was that little weird size of disc?
Five
and a quarter and 3.44, I think.
Would you say that you remind me of I remember around that same time Alyssa Milano was getting some traction because she
Kiss of the Vampire? Do you mean Kiss of the Vampire where Alyssa Milano bared her breast? Not that I remember it in detail. Yes, Kiss of the Vampire.
She was a pioneering celebrity in getting websites shut down for faking images of her nude.
I don't know why you had to fake them, because she pulled them out in Kiss of the Vampire. I think she also did Tales from the Crypt. Was there also a nude? Oh, God, you're really taxing me here. I think she did Tales from the Crypt. I know Alyssa Milano, Kiss of the Vampire. She had a topless lesbian kiss.
She was in one of the Poison Ivies.
God, you're right, that too.
Yeah.
Oh, I savaged my junk like it murdered my mom. Looking at those Kiss of the Vampire things when I was 12, 13.
I mean, it wasn't creepy for us, thankfully, ever to like be into Alyssa Milano because she's older than we are.
Oh, because she was like 10 on Who's the Boss or whatever?
Right, yeah.
I never even saw her in Who's the Boss. I didn't watch that piece of crap. So
that show
was
great.
I
get
was
out of
like,
here.
Who's this Italian piece of ass? Look at those. Look at those. God bless the boot.
Actually, I scared my girlfriend recently because we caught the pilot episode of Who's the Boss, and I knew most of the lyrics to the theme song. So.
Which one was Who's the Boss? I don't remember that song.
There was a time, lost a dream or two.
No.
Found a trail, and at the end was you. Yeah.
If you want to know how little I saw of Who's the Boss, with a gun to my head, I don't remember a note of that song. I've never even heard it after the fact. I know the yeah. Show me that smile again. I know that one, and I know the Mr. Belvedere. That kind of just sounds like a musical interpretation of a fat guy taking a messy bratwurst dump.
I'm trying to remember that one.
I think it was written by Gary Portnoy. He might have done the Cheers, too. I don't know if it's the same guy. I know Gary Portnoy. It's just a name I remember.
I thought the Cheers theme song was a legitimate, like, that's an actual track, isn't it? I think that's a real song that they just used for Cheers, and then they ended up...
I am a weirdo who Wikipedias these things. I am going to say Cheers was made... Ooh, I'm going to go against you. Cheers was made for the show. We're going to look it up. Okay, Gary Portnoy, best known for co-writing and singing the theme song for Cheers. In addition to co-writing, he also co-authored The Mr. Belvedere theme. Can we just quit the episode right now? Because I won.
That's so impressive.
Because I won.
That's so impressive. Gary Portnoy.
Please don't think it's because I organically picked that up anywhere. This is John five different times looking up Wikipedia for various television themes that just give him a chub. Do you want to know the name of the theme from Taxi? It's Angela.
Did not know that.
Taxi theme wiki. Now that's a song, by the way.
Yeah, that is.
Off of the Touchdown album. I remember it had a football cover on it.
Mm.
It's Touchdown by Bob James. Now that is a lifted song. And yeah, Angela. That is the name of the Taxi theme. Ironic, because the blonde broad and Who's the Boss was, ooh, Angela, Angela.
You remember that then?
No, I can only parody Don Geronimo's.
Oh, okay. Judith Light.
Of Tony Danza in Who's the Boss, because he would always say, I can do one impression as well as Mike can do impressions. And then he would just go, ooh, Angela, Angela.
It's so good.
It's really dead on, I guess. I guess it is not a difficult one to do, man.
Oh, man.
But I got to bring us back to Italian women, the best on the face of the earth. I'm laying that out there. But B, with big boobs, that's the best kind of Italian woman right there. Because True Detective, see, this is just cyclical.
All right. Now you're...
Oh, I'm firing on like two, maybe even three cylinders.
Who's the Italian broad in the show then? Do I know her?
Dude, they pulled this one out last night. Like, I watched the premiere last week. I'm not exaggerating. I watched that four times. And I enjoy me a show, but to watch it four times in the span of a week is creepy even for me. Like, I would just watch it. I was bowled over because we switched between 95 and 2012, these two investigators down in Louisiana, and McConaughey plays in 95 a dude who's like has problems sleeping. He seems like by demons be driven type, but he's brilliant. And then you cut to him in 2012 and he just has long hair. He works four nights a week in a bar and he just drinks. And like he's such a source of these amazing quotes. Like, you did time in Texas. You're wearing a Longhorns hat right now, so you're very familiar with Lone Star Beer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a national beer of Texas.
Yeah, there's a scene where the guy is literally, I don't even want to call him a functional alcoholic. He's just an alcoholic at this point in 2012. So we're wondering what the hell happened, because he was a successful cop, a deep cover detective cop in 95. We want to know what went wrong. And during the 2012 interview, these two investigators have him in, and he has the cigarette out. And they're like, whoa, you can't do that there. And he's just like, you want to hear this or not? And he just calls their bluff and lights up, and it just starts ashing in their mug. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, on any of my days off, I start drinking at noon. You don't get to interrupt that. You want this to continue? Bring me a six or old Milwaukee or Lone Star. Nothing snooty. Like, nothing snooty makes it. You gotta look it up. It's just so dead on.
That's great.
Oh, it's brilliant. So last night, I'm hyped. Like, I was actually pissed that the 49ers Seahawks game, regardless of outcome, ran until 10, because True Detective kicks in at 9. I'm like, I just want to be watching True Detective, damn it. But I couldn't flip away. The game was too tight. And 15 minutes in, this isn't a big spoiler, turn it off if you're watching it, you don't want to know anything. But Woody Harrelson, we're introduced in episode 2 that he's kind of a philanderer. His marriage is kind of on the rocks and he's hoeing about. And we meet the adulterous little corn spawn, I believe is the term used in King of the Hill one time for the character that Renee Zellweger. Who's the moon face with the big chin? Ryan Felipe. Is that a Renee? His ex-wife. Legally Blonde.
Oh, yeah. I thought about her recently. Ugh, God, I forget,
too. Why are we brain farting on this name? I'm Googling it. That one's just pathetic.
Oh, what is her name? Reese with a Spoon. Bam, got it.
There you go.
Beat you to it. I was thinking about her because she was in SFW. That's why I was thinking about her.
SFW. Sisters with Voices. I can make that joke as many times as need be. So we meet the other woman, and he pulls in. And she's wearing just short jeans and a white polo shirt. And I mean like little short jean shorts and a white polo shirt with no bra. And this thing's looking stuffed. and she's nipping like mad through a shirt. Now, I don't know about you, seeing erect chick nipples through a shirt, not my erect man nipples through a shirt. Right. That's grotesque. And I, God, do they ever not calm down? Girl nipples through a shirt, I have to look away to not get like a rape charge. I'm just like, it's the best thing on earth to me. Like, I see that and it's like a bull with a cape in his face. Except it's like a cape with two hard dots through it. I can't even think straight talking about it right now. Oh, I gotta swallow my saliva. Hold on.
I'm not like that, but I definitely just wanna kinda like stick a finger and just see, you know, texture, etc.
Yeah. I just wish I could freeze time and do things to my body. Let's put it that way. Right. If I see it in person, I just wish I could do and everything like great gazoo. So she's pulling off this white polo shirt thing. And then you're looking and you're like, well, he showed up late at night. He's drunk and he's worked his magic to convince her to let him come over. Woody Harrelson, that is, to come over and dump like the 100th load in this girl, even though she knows he's married and all that. And you can tell they're at the point where she's like, I want more. Hick, yeah. Whatever your name is, Detective Hick. And he's got to do his best to convince her that, oh, it's going to be more, baby, but can we screw in the meantime? Can we get to banging? And she handcuffs him. It's very sexy. Like, he presents what looks like a jewelry box, and he opens it, and it's just handcuffs. I'm like, oh, you dirty bitch. Oh, just marry me. Just marry me, dirty, dirty bitch. He shows up with a bottle of Captain Morgan and these handcuffs.
Wow.
And then she lifts the polo shirt and I lose it. It's the best pair I have seen, without exaggeration, real pair since maybe Petra Varikayak, I think is how you pronounce her name. A half Indonesian playmate from the mid 90s. I mean, they're spectacular. The actress's name is Alexandra Daddario. Which is funny, because isn't there a guitar string called Daddario?
I believe so, yes.
I wonder if she's an heir to the Daddario fortune. Then she's just perfect. I've had these pictures up. I didn't Google anything porno, so hopefully we don't get banned from the studio. I just typed in Alexandria Daddario, True Detective. Not my fault if that led to a rush of breast pictures, because other men had the same reaction I did to this girl losing her top. I'm not going to click on anything. This is just Google at this point. We're not looking at any naughty websites. Howard, just look at those. I feel like I'm showing you kitten pictures. Kittens dressed like little policemen and firefighters and other adorable outfits.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Those are still pictures. You're like me. You're an older man. We're 32. We've been looking at breasts for a long time. Just for you to say a still picture of a jug is impressive. Is impressive. When I tell you, you see these things in motion, like it was like real life Three Stooges. Like, I was smacking the side of my face. Like, I might as well have taken the shoe off my foot and just beat my head. I was like, what am I seeing? It was the face of God, my friend. It's like 15 minutes. I'm going home tonight to watch that prepared. You know what I mean?
Man.
You know what I mean? Bath towel, nothing else.
It would be interesting to get Woody Harrelson's take on, like, being in the same room. Because, I mean, here's a man who's probably seen more than his fair share of breasts. And,
He hasn't seen this.
Yeah, exactly. So this is an opportunity for him. Maybe this is the way that they sold him on being on this HBO show. He might have been initially when they approached him, hey, listen, I only do feature films. None of this television garbage.
Oh, yeah. It could have been a factor, because it's not like Woody just silently stares at these. There are other scenes where he then yanks down her pants and literally buries his face in it from behind. Now, I'm not five. I don't believe in Santa Claus or other miracles. I know he didn't really get to wear that like a mask. But his face, at most, was like an inch from it. You know, he was just like... pulling a quagmire, sniffing his shoe. I don't care how professional you are.
Oh, man.
You're like, here, I brought these from the range. Put them over top of your ears. This will take about 5 seconds. and she felt that breath on her ass, and she just pretended nothing happened. I'm in love with this chick. Hold on. She actually looks like a chick from True Blood. There's no way she's the... Oh, my God. This is the girl from True Blood? You got to be kidding me.
Oh, they found her another HBO show. All right.
Look, a True Blood hit came up, and she has the face of a girl that's on True Blood, but I don't think she has the boobs of that broad. And that girl really put on airs, Eric Northman's progeny. She really put on airs about getting naked. Like, she wouldn't even show the top half on True Blood. So I don't think it's her. I'm kind of weirded out that a hit for Alexandra Daddario True Blood came up. I want to know if she's a... Hold on. Let me Google this for a second. Fill for me, damn it.
I got to text my mom. She was asking where I am. Hold on. Why can't you fill for me, man?
Gosh, she is in True Blood. Oh, if it is who I think it is, she's this gorgeous fake British voice vampire, and she really was snooty about not pulling him out, which to me is the death of True Blood, by the way. As soon as actresses were like, you know what? We're not going to get naked. Well, I'm not going to watch the show.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? Dame Judi Dench? On the floor now.
True Blood is not high art.
Yeah, you wasted enough of my time. You see more of Bill Compton's ass than the Eric Northman's pecker than you do friggin' jugs on that show anymore. What the hell? When did the world get so topsy-turvy, Howard Highland? When? That
hey,
I ask you.
True Blood is an equal opportunity show for nudity.
You know what? That should mean like four pairs to every man. Anything I see, and that
how
ratio
very American of you.
American in the sense that I'm right. Yes,
you are such a porn connoisseur. You're not used to seeing a shaft parked in between a pair.
Oh, if I saw that on True Blood, I'd be A-okay with it.
All right, just making sure. I wonder why that's not allowed on regular television.
TFing. Why TFing isn't allowed on TFing to completion or just TFing? Period.
Exactly, yeah. No money shot, right?
Might have to do with the erect penis involved in said scene. Just a guess. Why is the placement of an erect penis between bare breasts to completion allowed on television? I don't know, Howard. I don't know. That and the Tootsie Roll. How many licks? We'll never get to that one either. And it's so great because after True Detective, they had, was it the premiere? Well, they had Girls, which I know I've crapped on Lena Dunham a lot, man. Not lately. Because my chick loves Girls and got me into Girls, man. And now I enjoy each episode. Not going to lie. That Lena Dunham, Lena, whatever, she's kind of talented. I've learned to respect the fact that she pulls out her wee little baby boobs. And it's just like, screw you, here's my fat body. And she's a good writer.
Yeah.
She's a decent actress.
I enjoyed Tiny Furniture. I saw that. Haven't watched the show.
Oh, I can't pull the trigger on Tiny Furniture yet.
It's a good show, man. Or I'm sorry, it's a good movie. I tend not to watch television shows, which is why I haven't watched Girls. But I like Tiny Furniture.
I'll check it out one day on Netflix because it just sits there. Like that piece of laundry in the corner, like that one stray sock you should reach under the bed and get. And you're just like, yeah.
Bear in mind, it was a low-budget production, but she did a great job with what she had. And
was she in it all that much? I know it's her sister, who's like a model or some crap.
What are you talking? Yeah, no, she's totally in it, man. She's
the central character. I thought the sister was like the big character.
No, not at all. Her sister is a major character in it, so it is pretty funny. I think she also used her mom for real, right? Like her mom and her sister were both like major characters in something that's like semi-autobiographical. I mean, obviously she changed it in order to have more of an entertainment value, but... She just captured that, like, I just graduated from college and have no idea what I'm going to do very well.
Well, that's what Girls is. Just fast forward 3 years. She plays her age down a little. I think she's like 27 in real life and she's maybe 23 in Girls or some crap.
So she's really still building off of that Tiny Furniture.
Oh, that's her shtick. That's her shtick. Trust me, at age 40, I think her bag of tricks is up. But for now.
No, she'll evolve, but I think Tiny Furniture was just a preview of what was possible with her her set of talents.
Well, that's what got her everything, man. Literally.
It's a good movie. I'm telling you,
I
man,
knew a chick who worked
out.
On it, man.
Okay.
And then she just didn't work on anything else. And now we don't talk much.
Well, it was really low budget, man. I doubt. Like, maybe it was a union production, but I'd be stunned if that were the case.
I don't know, man. All I know is I didn't get to see Girls, so I'm not one to shy away from gay themed shows. I'm like, you know what? We'll turn on Looking, which is like their latest. I don't want to say it's an answer to Queer as Folk, because Queer as Folk was A, 10 years ago, and B, very campy.
Right.
But Looking on HBO is about a bunch of gay dudes in San Fran.
Okay.
I guess they're looking. What are they looking for? Well, that's the magic of the title. They're looking for love. They're looking for sex. They're looking for everything. They're just looking.
So it's the male answer to the L word?
I wouldn't know. I got 15 seconds into it, and trust me, I've seen dudes. Hell, I was watching 6 Feet Under a couple hours before that, or I don't know, maybe like before the game started, earlier in the day. And you know, Dexter. Speaking of serial killers, Dexter takes it up. takes it up the skavoots on 6 Feet Under.
Right, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what? Look at him dancing in the gay club. That looks lighthearted and fun. It's all men, all one for all over there. Everyone's a hard body. As I stroke my goatee. Am I missing out on something? Looking literally starts out with two guys in the middle of the woods, one just savagely grabbing the other one's beanbag and unzipping his little jean shorts. And I was like, whoa, all man here. Okay. I could not mash that red go back button on my Xbox 360 control pad fast enough. Like, okay, for another day called never. Called never day of the week. Bye. Yeah. Bye, 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 bye.
Oh, yeah.
I wish I could tell you about Looking, but yeah. Maybe if the girlfriend can fast forward me through that hump. I'm not homophobic in the least, all for gay marriage, but oh, the mechanics of actual gay sex are just not my cup of tea, sir.
It is funny when you realize, like, I mean, I'm not like just realizing this, but we've talked about this many times when I've appeared on the show, just that realization, you know, gay guys who are just like us, except they like doing it with other dudes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because it's just as much as we talk about, hey, be nice to see a little shaft between a couple of T's. And then it's like, oh, you know, I think they have that same desire to see weird stuff on television, too. It's just not the same thing that I want.
Oh, of course. As much as they obviously watch porn because they're dudes.
Right.
They probably just like totally chub up because it's like, oh, man, she's that visible bulge. There is visible bulge on NBC tonight.
And it's funny talking to gay guys about cunnilingus because I'm like, this is a cool thing. Like, there's a clear response that comes from doing that I appreciate. It's basically like an excellent warm up for the that's the appetizer. And you're really looking forward to the main course, basically, is how that works, I feel. And you tell this to a gay guy and they just shudder at the thought. Vagina.
Oh, yeah. Ew! It's like a monster's mouth. Ew! It's like kissing grandma. Because apparently we are now talking to the most flamboyant man on earth. A character I'm going to develop for the Second City. I'm sure that wouldn't get me booed off stage.
I had a gay guy tell me recently that he believed that vagina dentata was real.
You're a great kisser? Oh.
No. I hate you.
Vagina dentata. I love that we both know what that is. I love that I can bring back the old Wayne's World joke where I believe Wayne said, wasn't that the name of the Police's second album? Old vagina dentata. AKA teeth in the box. Oh, let's just let it breathe. And scene. Let's bring this one home. We've actually done most of a show, but I got a good 10-minute segment. And we could actually go longer on this, but my weak vocal cords that aren't used to doing 20 hours of show a week, which, by the way, more than anything, there's two things I really respect the hell out of pretty much anyone that does a show for, I don't know, 4 hours a day, five right. times a week. One, where do you get the show prep? Where do you get the show prep? We did 2 hours, two full hours.
Yeah.
And in order to have done the equivalent of a 4-hour show, we would have needed another hour and change for that.
Well, that was Irina's job when she worked in radio. I mean, she was basically
that's true, the show prep.
Prep supplier. Yeah. You basically have like a fleet of fluffers who give you all the material you need.
Oh, all of 3 days that I was the assistant producer for LeVar and Dukes. that was my job, to make a little prep binder so they could just walk in and be like, oh, here's the show.
Yeah.
And it's easy in this area because it was like page one, Redskins news, and they rarely made it to page two.
Yeah. I mean,
a sports show is different. A caller-driven show is different. When you're like, here's my 15 minutes of thoughts and callers to you. And
right.
Then you blink and you're like, oh, 4 hours, we're done. But like an Opie and Anthony, a Don and Mike, especially Opie and Anthony, who just abhor callers, which God bless them. Callers suck. But let's keep it real. Callers suck. I don't know how the hell you keep not only the show filled, but just your voice. Imagine talking that long and not getting to Gatorade up or just take down Agua as much as you want because you have to talk. It's like I can have a soft voice, no joke, sore throat from just doing 2 hours of the show, especially if it was one like today where I'm passionate both hours. If I'm tapping out for one of those 2 hours, it's just mush mouth time. It saves the chords. But if I really give a crap, man, I feel it the next day.
Well, you should probably take better care of your voice, man. Like, I do some singing on the side, and I've learned some tricks of the trade to help keep your vocal cords intact.
Such as?
Tea. Hot tea is always a beneficial thing to drink with lemon.
See, I've heard that's a joke, and you should only have water. Because why would scalding liquids help your throat?
Well, it's not scalding. It's warm. You make it with boiling water, but you let it cool down. You shouldn't be drinking tea the second you drop the bag in. That's a terrible idea.
Okay.
But other things that supposedly do help with soothing your voice.
Feel bad that I dropped the ball and dropped the bag joke.
Pineapple.
Okay.
Pineapple juice, I should say.
Also makes your you-know-what taste great.
Orange juice, speaking on that same subject. So those
really?
Are two liquids that can help like chill your throat out a bit when you're doing that sort of thing. I've heard... Everybody's different. That's the other thing you have to caution people on when they're trying to do things to protect their voice. So, you know, I worked with that singer last year. She,
Cammy LA, who never friended me back on Facebook, even though I followed her and she only had like 130 people liking her. And I've got 500 and she never liked me back. So I unliked her. Now I have no idea who you're talking about.
She's not the most social media savvy. Anyway, it
she's
wasn't
a bartender
personal.
Broad. Shouldn't she like... just dwell on this? Like, she should not only be coveted by every one of her repeat customers who wants to F her and thinks he will by like tipping her and then writing
right?
his number
yeah.
on the receipt. She should also be on Instagram 24/7.
Yeah.
And it better be hashtag cleavage a whole bunch. Is she even on Instagram? I'm
yes,
not saying
she
she's
is.
A 10, but she's cute enough to like have a big Instagram following.
Yeah, no, she has Instagram.
She's
her Instagram following is way better than
7 to 8 or
Twitter.
Something.
Yeah, basically the pictures, like she gets a lot of follows, but it doesn't really work so much with the tweeting. So unless she's, of course, the only thing she ever tweets seems to be her Instagram photos. Anyway.
How is Cammy Law doing?
Talked to her last month. She's doing well, transitioning to life in L.A.
Oh, she moved.
Yeah, she's there. She pulled the trigger, man. I got to figure
What's
out where
that
she's...
like? What is doing things in life that you talk about doing like?
Yeah, she's starting to hustle a little bit. She wasn't hustling as much here, but obviously there's not really a music industry in Northern Virginia, Southern Maryland, D.C. So now that she's in L.A., she actually got to sing backup for somebody who used to be on Broadway. So that was kind of, so far, the highlight of
that
her brief time there.
6 degrees of sad, but it's still, I was kind of joking because, yeah, you have to be like, they used to be someone, and then I got to sing backup for them. But she's doing something.
You have to build a resume, man. Like, go down the list of people in Hollywood who start off doing these garbage commercials, you know?
That's true.
Like, you have to suck it up and do some grunt work, man. That's life.
Oh, that's like my ex who's out there. She's still just does commercials. But it's funny.
That's pretty good.
I see her on occasion, like during a football game. I'm like, I put my wiener in that. And you're on my TV now.
Commercials are not a bad job.
And then it cuts away from Tom Brady to the commercial. Gay joke ahoy. the SS Mo right into the gay boy, B-U-O-Y, floating in the Queen Sea.
Anyway, she told me that dairy did affect her vocal cords, so that was something that she personally had to be wary of before she was going to do
I have heard that dairy
sort of...
will crud your vocal cords up hard.
Okay. I've never necessarily noticed that. My problem with dairy is that I'm half Asian, and then I just get the Hershey squirts. So I have a different problem with dairy.
I, for a long time in the middle of my life, I lost my lactose tolerance for some reason. And the last couple of years, just by really, this is my version of working out and building up strength. I just ate milk daily and milk products, and now it doesn't really gas me up anymore, which is good for you because I had Panera's, their Franchetti grilled cheese sandwich. I don't know what the hell, their Franconia
grilled cheese.
Something Fontana. It was like something Italian with an F at the beginning.
Fontina.
That sounds about right, yeah. And it was like a usual, just a cross-section of a round bread loaf type size. It looked like two pieces of bread together, and that was just one side of it. And in the middle had to be 5-6 melted slices of cheese. And then it was like a chivy cream cheese smeared on one side inside the bread. So let's say conservatively 1,200 calories in that beast.
Okay.
Most of it dairy. And I'm not farting up a storm. Have I befouled the studio once today?
I have not noticed. I have not noticed such a thing. And I will not.
It's not because I'm getting away with any trickery.
All right.
It's just good. I had a bunch of other prep. I love when I can say a bunch, even if it was like one story max. I had a pretty good story we could get to.
When you say bunch, it usually means that there are at least three stories.
It usually means we're on fumes and I just want to sound prepped up. But we actually made it to, 52 minutes, man.
All right, great.
And the outro and all that stuff, we'll bring it up to 54. I just don't want to piss it away. And what's Cammy Law? Is she making you any money anymore or no?
I got another check recently.
How much? How much was this check?
I don't like disclosing financial figures.
Would it be great for comedic effect?
No.
How a check from what she produced?
I can retire now, actually. Like, I don't have to work anymore.
You had me for a second, son of a bitch.
No, I mean, like, honestly, it's
just... Under $30.
No, more than that.
Really?
Yes!
Really?
Yeah, winning.
Under 70.
I'm not talking anymore.
You produce this girl, she, in theory, should earn you loot, so...
I mean, it's going to take a while, and the reality is, it's basically...
Awesome you got a check from Apple?
Yes.
From Mr. Apple himself?
Yes.
Wow.
Direct deposit.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely mildly envious right now.
Well, I'll tell you this, man. It's just one of those things. Like, if she does happen to get signed with a label, like, it's going to be pretty good for both of us that we ended up putting up what essentially is a demo onto iTunes. Because now, like, anybody can get an early version of her work. And I'm a piece of that. So, hooray for me. It's just hard making it in music these days.
The title of your autobiography. Let's go with it.
What's that?
Hooray for me.
I could do better than that. Come on, man. No. What am I, Stephen Colbert?
No, let the inspiration just sit there. Hooray for me. You're never going to best it. Well, we can end this one. I'm going to end it without Surf Rider, too, because you want me to stop using things without written permission to use legalese. Stop violating copyright, wink, wink.
Hook your brother up, man. He's a musician. Speaking of people on iTunes.
Gray Sky Eternal. Here, we'll do the Papa's Football podcast bit, and we'll just play our intro song as our outro music. I'll just play it real low so people don't get confused. It's actually not that bad, is it? It's kind of effective.
It would work as an outro.
Yeah, it's not horrible.
I think you could have more of the intro part where it's... Just kind of the finger-picking portion of
it? Yeah, we could do literally what we do for Papa's Basement, where I leave in the full intro. I just have a chopped MP3, and that's what I use for this one's intro. But yeah, you're right. I'll leave the whole thing in. Or just I'll download the album and stop being a bad brother and use the MP3s for the outro. Gray Sky Eternal on iTunes. That's my bro's band. Please look them up and download them. Now it's time for the wall of plugs, because you've made it to the end of Papa's Basement, and that's your reward. If you're smart, you'll click now, but you won't hear that outro clip that you've heard a million times before, and it's funny. It's funny each time. I'm John Papagiorgio. It's Howard Flood across from me, the individual Twitter accounts, at WhatTheEffinHeezy for that man over there. For me, it's at Papa's Basement, in papasbasement.com. That's the website. New episodes go up there every Monday and every Thursday. They're then also fed to iTunes, where we would be very appreciative, to say it with an Ohio accent, just like Crick. We'd be very appreciative if you went to iTunes, typed in the words Papa apostrophe S Basement and subscribed there. Gave us a good rating. Same with Papa apostrophe S Football Podcast. Last but not least, visit pfpod.com and thespookiescomic.com. These are all things that we have our grimy little fingers in. Till the next one, we're out of here. You know what? Like a dunce, I hit the music off and not the mics. That's not the right order, John.
're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way. On my way, glory, hallelujah, I'm on my way.